get to the bottom of what's truly healthy in this crazy, complex world. So you can take back what is rightfully yours. Welcome to the Health Sovereign Podcast. This is your host, Logan Christopher.
Welcome back. And I'm saying that more to myself than I'm saying it to you. This is the first podcast I've recorded in quite some time. I fell off my rhythms because the world fell apart. Literally everything that's come in the past few months was recorded back in February. And then the coronavirus, everything that has happened since then. So here we are in May. It's been a crazy, crazy time. Fascinating time. Absolutely. And of course, people are dying. People's lives are being ruined. So I don't mean fascinating in a good way, but fascinating nonetheless. In the world falling apart and how that disrupted me. Yes, it did disrupt me. I fell apart in certain habits, got depressed, different things going on, bouncing back, but also kicking into high gear as far as investigative journalism, all these things going on. So I wanted to record an episode here where I talk about some of my thoughts around this, what's going on with the coronavirus. Really, obviously, this has so much to do about health and health sovereignty. And that is not what our governments, not what our worldwide bodies are preaching at all. They are saying health by everything outside of sovereignty is the case. Where to start with this? This is really just going to be somewhat of a ramble, a rant covering a few different topics. Models, statistics, and lies. I think that's a good place to start. Well, we've learned something about models, have we not? Every model about this coronavirus has proven to be wrong. I don't think there's been a single model that accurately projected, even though there's ranges of least to most, like everything that's happened has not fallen within those. I can fully understand people in the early on in this, back in March, we didn't really know so much and we couldn't trust the data that came out of China, the leaked footage that came from people of showing some crazy stuff going on. Had this not started in China, I really wonder what would have gone on with the rest of the world. But we saw that response. We didn't trust the statistics, so there was a lot of fear and uncertainty and unknowns. But now here, towards the end of May, we know quite a bit more about what is going on. Every model failed miserably. And something we can take from that is that models very often are wrong. And if we can't see the data that is put into the model, if we can't see how the model works, then should we trust that model at all? I don't think so. Niall Ferguson, the guy that was one of the main guys behind the Imperial College model that was used to shut down the UK, that basically here in the US, we used that data as well in order to look at our models. That has been shown to be completely wrong. And not only that, Niall Ferguson is a hypocrite, breaking the quarantine rules to go have sex with his married girlfriend. Craziness, right? And that's a thing about a lot of these people that talk, seemingly hypocrites, right? If someone is a hypocrite, if they're not following their own rules, should we, the rest of the people, be following them? So here's a thing to understand. As I've been diving deeper into learning about pharmaceutical medicine, specifically how the science is manipulated and faked, in many cases, most of the studies that are done for a new drug, for instance, the data is not publicly disclosed. Did you know that? In many cases, the data is a company's proprietary secret. So can we really trust the data if it's not out there in the public? I mean, this allows for manipulation easily, right? We can get rid of outliers, we can reclassify things, and you can just look at our paper, one perhaps we had ghostwritten. Believe this. That's what they want us to do. So we have to be very careful about data. The thing that would answer so many problems in the world today, not all of them, you know, obviously we live in a complex world, but transparency. If we don't have transparency, then that is where corruption can take hold. That is where people can be misled and lied to because of a lack of transparency. So I think we should, once again, learn this lesson. Don't trust a model just because an expert, quote unquote, says that this is my model, this is what it says, we need to listen to this. If, and I'm not saying you have to be a statistician, this stuff gets complex, but look at, if the data is not publicly available and other people cannot look at such a thing, should you trust it? And I would say no, the default should be no, do not trust something that is not publicly disclosed. So as I mentioned earlier, I have gone, I guess, deeper down the investigative journalism rabbit hole, this seeing what was happening in the world and actually understanding how this plays into various agendas out there. Had me writing more about a wide range of topics. From this, I started exploring different things. One of the things that I did was a deep dive on the World Health Organization, because this organization is held up as a worldwide authority on health, as the name implies. And even such places as YouTube saying, if you say anything that goes against the guidelines of the WHO, then we are going to get rid of your video or demonetize it, all the different factors that they have in play there. So should we really be trusting the World Health Organization? Well, I did some research, and what I'm probably going to do in upcoming episodes on the podcast, I'm going to read that here. If you want access to that, that is at loganchristopher.com/WHO, W-H-O. That is available there. You can grab the PDF, no opt-in, no nothing necessary. Just go and read that. It's about 50 pages, although big type, there's pictures in there and whatnot, so it's not that detailed, but I kind of looked over the span of time. You know, not just what's going on right now. That's, of course, important. What is the WHO's relationship to China? Tedros, the guy that is head of the WHO, how did he get in that position? But what has happened also in the past that gives us clues to whether we should be trusting this organization? Short answer, I don't believe they are very trustworthy based on many of the things I see going on. And once again, simple stuff. This is as simple as I can make it. Why is none of our government bodies, why is the World Health Organization, why is the best they can tell us to do is to avoid sick people, wash hands, wear a mask or don't wear a mask, that there's craziness that can't even decide on a coherent answer regarding that. Why is there not a single bit of information that, hey, make sure your vitamin D levels up. More and more research is coming up showing that those people that have ideal levels of vitamin D, they're not dying from this, while the people that are dying have very low levels of vitamin D. Is vitamin D just about the coronavirus and COVID-19? No, absolutely not. This is so necessary for so many bits, different aspects of health, that it's crazy not to just be recommending this kind of as a blanket thing. Like, most things do not fit as a blanket. Vitamin D is one of those. Instead of fluoride in the water, why don't we put vitamin D in the water? That would be so much better for all of our health, including bone health, which means the teeth, right? But this isn't really about health to them. That's my opinion. It's more about power and control and being able to milk people like they milk cows for profits. I mean, that is what our medical system is actually about, if you understand it. So yes, I will be probably reading that aloud and giving additional thoughts in coming up episodes here. But once again, you can go check that out, loganchristopher.com/WHO. And please do not take my word for it. What I'm doing with all of this, it's much easier to do in written form than here on the podcast, is I have links to every single one of my references. Challenge me. I would love to believe that the World Health Organization is a great organization, but when I look at the data, when I look and see what's there and make it transparently publicly available, I do not see that. When I look at pharmaceutical companies and what they do, Yes, of course, there are some life-saving drugs. Yes, drugs do have their place. But I look at the bad things they do. And there's so much there that is not public knowledge. Or it is, but little bits and pieces of it that people... It takes time to do this. You know, I'm in a very good place. I'm grateful that I've worked hard to build my businesses, to put my life in a place where, honestly, the coronavirus is not impacting me that much personally. Like, my home life, like, I work from home, so not that much has changed for me. Yes, there's been business disruptions and things like that, but compared to many other people out there, I'm a very solid place. I also have freed up my time in a way that allows me to dig deep into pharmaceutical corruption, into what is really going on with the world, government corruption. And I understand most people do not have that luxury, except many people do have much more free time now. You can spend it just binging out on Netflix and eating crappy food, or perhaps now is a good time to educate yourself. I'm getting fired up here. Can you tell? So I do want to say this because this is such a big issue involved in everything we see going on is conflicts of interest. Now, just being transparent about a conflict of interest does not necessarily make it go away. And it's really stupid, naive to think that that is the case. As I've shown in some of my medical monopoly musing, my writings about that, oftentimes with the science, with doctors, physicians, researchers, and whatnot, these conflicts of interest are not disclosed. We see that even at the World Health Organization as well. There are rampant conflicts of interest, and oftentimes they are hidden away. And conflicts between companies and organizations and philanthropies even can be hidden just by the sheer complexity of it all. That does not mean that these conflicts of interest are not very much a conflict of interest and having bad effects because of that. So we are certainly seeing that go on. And to be truthful, to be transparent, I, in a sense, have conflicts of interest too. The reason I am talking about this stuff is because I see a better way to health. I am trying to get people to take their health into their own hands because it must start there. It can't be granted. Health cannot come from a government. Health cannot come from a worldwide organization. Health certainly cannot come from a pharmaceutical company. All of those will have a place. But without an individual person having the sovereignty, the choice to be healthy, the education from which to realize what should and should not be done, and to be able to figure things out for themselves, then you can't truly be healthy. So I teach a different way of looking at health than is that public perception. And my businesses support that. Obviously, fitness, not necessarily the conventional fitness of going to a gym, running on a treadmill like a hamster, but fitness where you actually learn to move well, you become strong. That is an important piece of health. Herbalism is, in my opinion, it is a necessary piece of health. There are many different ways of, obviously food is super important, but herbs before the last century or so have always been a part of our diet. Every single indigenous people, every culture across the world used herbs as medicine. It's only us modern people that have forgotten how to do that. So these are pieces of the puzzle of what it takes to actually really be healthy in today's world. They're not the only thing, and there's so much else out there, from energy medicine to psychology, tons and tons of things. We've covered that in some past episodes. So what I'm trying to sell you on is this different worldview of health, and of course my businesses fit into that. So I am conflicted in that sense. But to be honest, I would love for everyone to, even if they didn't patronize my businesses at all, just for people to adopt this viewpoint. We would all be so much better off because of it. And one of the big pieces of this is the worldview of health. As we've been talking about, a big part of this is the germ theory versus terrain theory. germ theory really being, it's all about the germ. It's about the virus. It's about the bacteria. Oh, when we initially found these things, Louis Pasteur was like, oh, these bugs are everywhere. We need to get rid of them. Pasteurization, heating things up, sterilizing. And of course, that has its place too. I'm not saying that this stuff is not important at all. Obviously, sterilization is huge. I mean, Semmelweis, the doctor who was talking about, oh, you know, if you work on a dead body and then you go and deliver a baby, a lot of women and babies are dying. Well, if we wash our hands, that doesn't seem to happen. And other doctors and scientists of the time laughed at this man, because they didn't understand how that could possibly be a thing. So obviously hygiene is important, but being overly hygienic is also problematic as well for different reasons. Anytime you do an intervention, there are trade-offs from that. So if we close people in their houses, that can be good. It will stop exposure to germs. However, you know, they're not getting vitamin D from the sun. Most people not getting it from their food either. They're going to be indoors and only exposed to certain things, that it may be taking their immunity down. Then when they go back out into the world, are we surprised that they are less effective at doing things? So that is really the germ theory. Just avoid the germs. Get rid of the germs as much as possible. We've learned a lot since that theory came forth. It was a time and a place to kind of look at that theory, even though there was debate back then. But we have learned, oh, we have viruses within us. We have bacteria within us. We even have fungi within us. And these are an important part of our microbiome. It's not just gut health. It's really across our entire body. We are a symbiotic organism. And if we just tried to kill it all off, we would do so in a detrimental way to ourselves. So it is much more so about the terrain. If I could just avoid a germ was one option, or I could have the best terrain possible, I would pick the terrain. And by terrain, I mean that internal body, which has to do with your internal systems, your internal health, your immune systems, the white blood cells, the killer natural killer cells, everything involved there, but also the microbiome, all those symbiotic organisms with us. So a germ, we're being assaulted by germs all the time. They're always present. We've had coronaviruses forever. Is this one really so much worse? Yeah, it does seem to be more infectious. And yeah, it seems to be on par with a bad flu, or even a little bit worse than that. That's according to the statistics we have, even from the CDC, which there's problems with those statistics. You know, when a pawpaw, a fruit in Tanzania, tests positive for the coronavirus, we know there's some the problems going on with our testing, right? So yes, there's false positives, false negatives, there's undercounting of death, there's overcounting of death. It is a mess. So we go back to ourselves. Can we be as healthy as possible? And yeah, of course, if you are grossly overweight, that is going to take some time to handle that. And chances are that is going to become much harder because of our chemicalized, overly ultra-processed food supply, and chemicals in the water, all kinds of stuff like that. That's going to take some time to rectify. But going out to nature, which has now been made illegal in certain places, is good for your health. A single dose of nature can be effective for increasing your immunity, for lowering stress, for having cascading effects across your body. And they're making this illegal. It's happened like back and forth here in California. Limited hours you're allowed to go to the beach. And I can understand the viewpoint that we don't want overcrowding, then people can be spreading it. But why? It makes no sense that a single person cannot step foot in nature where they're alone, right? And it's crazy to me to see people wearing masks in nature, you know, at the times when it's not illegal or when I'm going there otherwise, because that's actually going to block the benefits of nature. Yeah, so we got some crazy times. It's because people are not properly educated on health. Our government bodies, our World Health Organization are not properly educating people on health. They are pigeonholed. They are stuck into this germ theory of disease because conflicts of interest. because they're incentivized, profitized in order to be here. Instead, we need people to understand this terrain theory, that first and foremost, it is about your own immune system. And we're seeing that with the disease. Who's dying? Well, one, very old people, 80 plus in many cases, core morbidities, whether this is high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes, all kinds of different factors. So the healthier you are, which is not just about being young, and once again, it's not just, hey, I should have been exercising all this time in order to be better right now. Simple things you do today can improve your immunity. What you eat right now changes your immune system for the better or for the worse. Your ability to handle stress right now changes your immune system for better or worse. So are we mandating the wearing of masks or mandating meditation? Which would actually be better for immunity? Why do we have choice on just some of these things, but not others? Why are all the choices restricted to certain things, and what we're seeing coming here, certain pharmaceutical drugs? In many cases, it looks like they're going to be mandating these. I have a problem with that, because I'm a health sovereign. I want to be a sovereign individual. And to say that I have to do a pharmaceutical intervention in order to protect another person, yeah, I have problems with that line of thinking. Because, well, what about the company that is pumping out chemicals into the environment, that gets into the groundwater, that gets into food? Why do they have a choice to degrade the health of tons and tons of people, and I don't have a choice to have completely clean food? You know, even at the top of Everest, there's DDT, which is bad for your health, in case you didn't know. So why do these, in many cases, evil corporations, you know, sometimes it is because there are corrupted individuals involved, but other times they're just, in general, the profit motive, the chasing of the quarterly earnings for the stock market, incentivizes certain behavior. Short-term thinking behavior, not long-term thinking behavior. So why do they have the choice to do such things there, not looking at long-term ramifications, the tragedy of the commons? They have the rights of a corporation to be a personhood, but not the responsibilities involved. And yet, here I am with less rights. I can't choose to do certain things, but I'm responsible for other people in this way. It just doesn't make sense. And I'm feeling positive because you're listening to this. A lot of people are thinking along the same lines. So go out to nature, even if it is breaking the law, because I think now is a good time for public civil disobedience. You can do it peacefully. I'm not saying to be violent or destroy property or anything like that. Be civilly disobedient. Go out to nature because it's good for your health. I mean, let me count the ways. I go out to a park at the wrong hours. I'm breaking the law. I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not sure if that's mandated here or not. And then I go and forage some herbs. And of course, if I'm in a state park, picking anything is illegal as well. I understand, yes, we do need rules and regulations. But if those rules and regulations are idiotic, illogical, and harmful, then it is, you're right, it is your responsibility to break them. That is my opinion. Do things for your health, and the better you support your health, the better you can help support other people's health as well. You know, we all do make our choices. Why do some get mandated and others do not? It's a good question. So we're back in action here at the Health Sovereign Podcast. I got some fun stuff coming up. Going to be trying some new things moving forward here. Like I said, got that World Health Organization, going to be reading that whole report. I'm also planning on reading aloud my medical monopoly musings. This stuff is important. One last thing I want to mention here is, with these crazy times we're going on, it is easy to get off kilter. I mean, people's lives, people's routines are completely disrupted. One thing I've found very useful to me is rooting into routine. Getting into making sure I didn't fall away from my routines. In some cases, yes, I got thrown off a little bit, but I knew I needed to get back to those things that really take care of myself, take care of my health, take care of my sanity. Very important to do that. And this concept of rooting into the routine, like a tree roots into the ground, that gives you that grounding from which to thrive, from which to be your best self, from which to make good decisions for yourself and for others you care about. So if you have allowed yourself to get out of routines that are very helpful for you, what can you do to get back to them? And not only that, what new routines or tweaks to your routine can be made that further set you up in a good way? Some good questions to be asking yourself. It's going to wrap it up for today. I look forward to continuing this podcast for you, continuing to speak to you like this. Thanks for listening. As always, if you want to share this podcast to other people, much appreciated. Reviews, wherever you can review it, that is great as well. Thank you so much. Forget fads. How about you base your health on sound principles that have existed for millennia? That's what my book, Powered by Nature, How Nature Improves Our Health, Happiness, and Performance, is all about. If you want a special deal, my company, Lost Empire Herbs, will give you a $30 gift card to buy a $20 book. Plus, every sale will support indigenous people in the Amazon rainforest too. Find out more and pick up your copy at poweredbynaturebook.com.